coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, the heart of the Valley of the Sun. This is Mets Fans Out West, and now here's your host, Steve Villardi.
Hello, Mets fans. How is it going? How are we doing? Ugh, pretty painful to be a Mets fan at this time. I'm recording this introduction on Monday, June 12th, 2023. The Mets have lost 8 out of their last 9 after sweeping the Phillies. And we thought everything was kind of starting to look up. They got swept at home by the Toronto Blue Jays. Then they went to Atlanta and got swept by the Braves in 3 heartbreaking games. And then lost 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh over the weekend in Pittsburgh. I mean, what can I say that hasn't already been said? When the pitching's there, the hitting's not. When the hitting's there, they can't pitch. Some sloppy play in the field, too. And, you know, thankfully, so many teams get in the playoffs. So, you know, I haven't given up all hope yet. But, man, it's just every game. So many times during this season, I've said, all right, this has got to be the low point of the season. That was the worst loss of the year. And then just another bad one is just on the horizon all the time. I saw this meme the other day. It's that meme of Homer and Bart Simpson. And, you know, in the first panel, Bart is saying, that's the worst loss of the season. And Homer says, that was the lost worst of the season so far, you know, and that's exactly the way it feels. Just somehow it just keeps getting worse. But they return home tomorrow. Subway Series starts. Hopefully they can turn the page. And, you know, they just picked up Luke Voigt, so that should help. Sarcasm. Anyway. Let's see. Mets news since our last episode. Original Met Roger Craig passed away. He is also the one who taught Mike Scott the split finger fastball. So, kind of on both ends of the Mets spectrum as hero and villain. But yeah, I believe he was the last member of the last surviving member of the original 62 Mets. I could be wrong, but that sounds right. Also, we got the news that Jacob deGrom was headed for his second Tommy John surgery and will certainly be out the rest of this year and probably most, if not all, of next season as well. Just, you know, terrible news, but I can't say I'm surprised, and I'm sure a lot of Mets fans aren't surprised. But it's a shame. He's probably the greatest pitcher I've ever seen in my lifetime pitching live. Not really old enough to remember Gooden. Certainly the greatest Mets pitcher I've seen pitch live, although I had a knack of going to the games where he just didn't have it. I got to go back and look through Facebook, because I always, when I check into the games, I always put the starting pitchers down. So off the top of my head, I can only remember a couple of stinkeroos that I saw Jake pitch, but I'm sure I saw a couple of good ones too. But anyway, just that press conference with him was heartbreaking, and, you know, I know we all feel like we dodged a bullet, but still, I just, I feel terrible for the guy, and, you know, the game is better when Jake is pitching. No matter for what team, you know, except the Yankees. And also, last weekend, the Mets did their Mets Hall of Fame ceremony, which was really nice. They honored Howard Johnson, Gary Cohen, Howie Rose, and Al Leiter. So that was a nice little foursome being inducted to the Mets Hall of Fame, and really a very well-done ceremony, and a special shout-out to Todd Zeal, who I thought did a great job as master of ceremonies, stepping into the shoes of what is usually Howie Rose's job, and occasionally Gary Cohen's, but, you know, those guys were the inductees, so Todd Zeal stepped in, and I thought it was a great choice, and he did a terrific job. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And like I said, the Subway series is starting tomorrow. And if you are listening to this in time and you are in the Phoenix area, we will be having a watch party at the Desmond in downtown Phoenix for the Subway Series game on Wednesday, June 14th. Yes, let me look at my trusty seven-line calendar. That is the correct date. Wednesday, June 14th, 4:10 p.m. Phoenix time. We're going to kind of last minute, but the owner and I are trying to organize a little watch party at the Desmond, which is a great little bar restaurant. It is on First Street between Washington and Adams, I believe. It's right next to the Kettle Black. The two bars are owned by two brothers, and they're both a really good time. So if you are free and looking to meet up with some Mets fans, that's happening Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, at the Desmond in downtown Phoenix. So hope to see you there. Now, this is going to be the sixth episode of this podcast, Episode 6, Return of the Mets Fans Out West, I guess. And I have all these stats and information about, like, who's listening to the podcast and how many downloads. We are coming up on 200 downloads, which I'm very proud of. So thank you all who've been supporting and downloading the show. And the fascinating thing that I'm finding out is that we've got downloads in Germany. We've got downloads in Manchester, England, Cairo. I'm just scrolling down the list. I know I'm going to butcher some of these names. Bengaluru, Karnataka, Quebec. All over the world, there are Mets fans listening to this show. Alkenka, Kalyubia, and Mitgamer, Dakalia. I'm not sure where they are. But this says we have 168 downloads in North America. That's no surprise. 13 downloads in Europe. 1 download in Asia, and 4 in Africa. So yeah, like I said, there's not only Mets fans out west, there are Mets fans all over the world. And thank you for listening. And if you're out there, send an email, say hello. I'd love to hear more about what Mets fandom is like around the globe. Please follow me on Twitter, Mets Fans Out West Podcast, or on Facebook, Mets Fans Out West. And if you're listening, please like, download, rate, review, subscribe, you know, all those things that you're supposed to do to keep podcasts going. So yeah, if you like the show, please do any of those things. And if you don't like the show, you are listening to Fly on the Wall with Dana Carvey and David Spade. Okay, so my guest today is Desiree Powers. She is a teacher from who lives just south of San Diego these days, born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens and New Jersey, and she's a member of this Facebook group that I'm a part of called San Diego Mets Fans. Now, I have some friends from Brooklyn who moved out to San Diego, and I asked one of them. I asked my friend Tiffany to be on the show, and she said, I don't think I'm really the right person for it, but I have a friend who who'll be good for this. And that was Desiree. So we thank her later in the show too. But yes, I just want to thank Tiffany Florio for setting this interview up. And this was a fun interview to do for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was the second time that I'm using this remote recording equipment because she's in California. So again, the sound is not ideal, but there might be a couple of moments of echo, but all in all, it worked out well. And Desiree is the first guest I have never met before, so it was kind of a fun conversation and interesting interviewing someone who I really didn't know. But, and of course, after the fact, because I didn't know her, after the fact, I thought of, you know, five more questions that I should have asked her, but that's okay. We can have her on the World Series celebration episode in November, right? All right. So I think that's it. Here's Desiree, and this is episode 6. Here we go. Now chatting, Desiree Powers. So how do you know Tiffany? Do you know her from Brooklyn or from California?
From California, from San Diego.
Yeah.
So when I met Tiffany, she came to work at our school.
Mm-hmm.
She came in as like a support staff when I was pregnant with my first daughter.
Oh, wow.
And she asked me what I was going to be naming my daughter. And I said, Parker Shea.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, she's like, my baseball team. I was like, oh, yeah, the Mets. And so we obviously hit it off. We still talk mostly every day now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'll mention it in the intro to the episode. But thank you, Tiffany, for setting this up with Desiree.
Yes.
I initially asked Tiffany to be on, but she said she hasn't been following as closely lately, which is probably good for her mental health.
Right. I don't know how. I wish I could step away.
I know. So she suggested you, and here we are.
And I was talking to Tiff this weekend. She was actually saying that she's known you forever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So yeah. I was like, we're gonna record next week.
So. Yep, we've had a lot of adventures together. Most notably, we went to Woodstock 99 together in a big group of people. Whoa. But yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's an adventure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's an adventure we'll always have. So now, are you in this San Diego Mets fans Facebook group?
Yes, I am. We are actually going to see them. They're going to be out here in July. We have a pretty big group going.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's Tiffany and I, we have this tradition where we go all the time.
Yeah.
Even when my husband was deployed, she was like, I'm coming to the Mets game. We're going. Let's go. So she kind of introduced me to the group.
Yeah.
And now we'll be going.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah, I was originally planning on moving to LA. So I started looking for Mets fans Facebook groups in California. And so I became a part of the San Diego Mets fans groups, even while I was still in Brooklyn. And then our plans changed and we came to Phoenix instead. But yeah, so you're in the, are you an administrator of the group?
No. I helped them like start an Instagram, but the Instagram wasn't as good as, or like didn't work as much as the Facebook group. It's like more interactive. I feel like you're able to send messages a lot easier, get groups together. So.
Yeah, so if you're in the San Diego area and on Facebook, check out the group San Diego Met Fans. And like Desiree said, they organize outings to the games when the Mets are at Petco and sometimes have watch parties and stuff, right?
Yes, we've gone to plenty of, like, we'll meet at a local bar and we'll just watch the game, commiserate together or celebrate together. Enjoy.
So, yeah, if you're in the San Diego area, that's something to look into. All right. So now you're in San Diego now. Where are you from originally? You have a 201 area code, so I'm guessing Jersey.
Jersey. So I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in Queens till I was about 7, and then my mom moved us out to New Jersey. So I lived in East Rutherford, so where the Giants and Jets play.
Yep.
Close to MetLife Stadium. there until I got married at 27 and moved out here.
Cool. And what was the reason for the move?
My husband is stationed in was stationed out here, mm-hmm. so we ended up staying out here.
Awesome. You come from a family of Mets fans, I understand.
Yes, we do. We have I feel like my whole family is Mets fans, and I just my whole life. I don't even think I was ever introduced to anything, but it was like yes, Mets and boo Yankees all the time. So.
And you mentioned that your husband's a Dodgers fan.
He is. And when we were dating and, you know, I was just like, I couldn't marry anyone who's not a Mets fan. And I think part of our relationship has evolved so much around baseball that he was just like, you'll see, it'll be great in California. We can go to anytime your team's out here. We'll go to the games, and for the most part, we have. But every single game here, every single game in LA we go to. And then I was like, well, I don't really know where this is going. And he's like, well, if you marry me, he's like, if either one of our teams goes to the World Series, he's like, we're going to drain our savings. We're going to go. And we have. When the Mets went in 2015, we flew overnight and went to game four. Uh-huh. And then the Dodgers made it the year after that. And he was stationed in Japan and flew overnight. And we ended up in LA at a World Series game two.
Oh, wow.
So we've both been good on our words.
Mm-hmm. And how is he from California originally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from California, and we met out in Hoboken, New Jersey. So we met in New Jersey.
Yes. As you do. See, I have mentioned this before on the show. I have a soft spot for both the Dodgers and the Giants because my mom was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan and my dad a New York Giants fan. So I usually root for both of them too, except when they're playing the Mets, you know. Although I do have a soft spot for the Dodgers. I don't really have a soft spot for these Dodgers who've been, you know, dominating for the last 10 years or so. But
yes, it's really hard to watch mm-hmm. sometimes when you're just coming off a loss and like the 4 o'clock start time out here
mm-hmm.
and the 7 o'clock start time. So it's like one game's ending, you know, and then his game starts and you just see like the difference in teams. It's hard to watch sometimes.
I bet. So. Yeah. Although I do like that idea of having two games in a row to watch. But then when your team is yes. the lesser of the two, that's not a lot of fun.
Especially now when I'm didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
When I'm watching Syndergaard pitch in an LA uniform. It's very difficult.
What happened? What happened? This is actually the first episode I'm recording while there's a live game going on. So I'm actually watching on my phone here. McNeil just doubled.
But, nice.
But
last night's loss was very, very hard to watch.
So if you're listening, we are recording this on Friday, June 9th, 2023. The Mets have lost 6 in a row. They just lost 3 heartbreaking games to the Atlanta Braves. Each one they were leading by at least 3 runs and lost all 3. Not only that, Pete Alonso got hit in the wrist, I think, with a pitch, and he's going to be out about a month, it was announced today. So, yeah, this is probably the lowest point of the season so far. It's just been one of those years where I've been like, all right, this is the worst it can get. It can only get better from here, and then it just keeps getting worse.
Worse.
Yeah.
I feel like June is one of the hardest months to be a Mets fan. I find every year there's some kind of struggle, with the exception of last year. Last year we were just crushing it all year. But I feel like June is notorious. Like, we either start the season really good and there's some like injuries and so, but you're right. I feel like we're at the bottom. It's gotta go up from here.
And there is still, 99 games left, and so many teams make the playoffs now. I haven't lost complete hope, but man, it just feels like a chore to watch these games currently.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But anyway, back to good times. Yes. Do you remember your first Mets game?
So I don't remember my first Mets game, but I definitely have a memory of like a huge family outing that there were some friends, some family that was in like Yankees jerseys, and it was a Mets versus Yankees game. And I just remember it being like so fun and such a big family party. And we were out in the parking lot at Shea. I just remember it being such a great time. And I think that is my first core memory of like baseball and like what attracts me to going to games and cheering, just my love for the sport.
So you have been to Shea. You're old enough to have been to Shea.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
And so when you were a kid, who was your favorite player?
So my parents always tell me that it was David Segui. And
wow.
Like,
that's a name you don't hear every day.
Right. I think there was a point in my life where as like a teenager, I wasn't as into baseball and into the Mets. But before that, it was all him. He was left-handed. And my dad used to be like, he's like you. And I feel like that's my oldest memory of like, wow. And my mom said I would always be cheering and asking about him. But I couldn't tell you much more than that, other than what has been told to me.
Yeah.
I'm more of the Jose Reyes, David Wright, like as I got older, for sure.
Yeah, I can't even remember when Segui was actually playing. Was he like after the Subway Series before David and Jose?
Yeah, before that.
Yeah, I certainly remember the name just because it was spelled weird. And when you mentioned he was left-handed, I kind of remember that. But yeah, that's not a name you hear every day.
No, definitely. And that was like when I was like when a kid. But I feel like as I got older and I decided to choose baseball, that's probably like, I would say the World Series with the Mets and the Yankees. That was probably like when I really started getting into baseball, like choosing to, not like my family choosing to, if that makes any sense.
No, it totally does. And then what about now? Who are your favorite current players or more recent players?
You know, I am a huge Brandon Nimmo fan. I have a lot. Yes. My favorite current player on the team is probably Brandon Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
I just love watching his enthusiasm, his smiling, his like good attitude all the time. I think he's a really good fit for our team. So,
yeah, I'm glad they locked him up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hit that grand slam yesterday, I was like, this is the hit that turns this season around. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, Alvarez hits a home run. And I'm like, this is the hit that turns this season around. I've said that so many times this year, and it doesn't even turn the game around, really, because they just end up blowing it in the next inning.
You and every Mets fan I know, that was like the pivotal moment of yesterday's game.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we were all like, we just are hopeless Mets fans, all of us. And I have a coworker, I see him at work every day, and he's just giving me a comment on the game. And sometimes we just look at each other, nod, and just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know what we've experienced.
So frustrating.
It is.
So what are some of favorite games that you've been to in your life? Now, first and foremost, Desiree, being a teacher, did her homework. I sent her the questions that I would ask on the podcast, and she sent them back to me with short answers, so I'd have an idea of what we'd be talking about. And she mentioned that she was at the game in San Diego where Bartolo hit his home run, and I was there too.
Oh, no way.
I probably met you because were you hanging out with Tiffany and Kim and Katie that day?
So, no, that was so, so funny. Tiffany and I talk about how we were at that game, but we hadn't met yet.
Oh, wow.
We met the next spring. So almost a year after that. But we always talk about how we were there.
Yeah,
so that's funny.
I was there too. Were you at the bar later that night? There was a ton of Seven Line people hanging out at this one bar. And then across, we found out that Noah Syndergaard was in the restaurant across the street. And a bunch of us went over there and took pictures with him.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, No, I was not. I did not make it to that after. We did go out, but we were not part of the Noah Syndergaard. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. And he was with some other dude. And then later in the year, we found out that was Robert Gesellman, his buddy and roommate that he was hanging out with, you know?
No way. That's...
But other than than that game, what are some favorites? Unless you want to, anything about that game you want to mention?
No. That was definitely an incredible experience, and I love that. If you're out on the West Coast and you're watching they always go back to that memory on May 7th every year. They're like, this year, and you get to see Bartolo hit that Colon. Bartolo Colon hit that home run, and then they flash over to the seven line and just like, oh, there we are. So when they revisit that every year, like knowing that that's a big piece of Mets history, feels really cool. But I think one of my favorite games was probably the World Series game at Citi Field.
Yeah.
We lost, and I feel like when we got on the train on the way home, everyone was chanting, let's go Mets. Like, we hadn't just lost. Like, everybody was just so happy to be at a game. And I was like, there's just magic in this team. Like, this was it. When Ruben Tejada, the Chase Utley famous slide, I was there in LA.
Oh, wow.
Our seats were right near the visiting bullpen. So everybody was up on their feet. There was like such a fire happening there, and it was just even though we had lost that game, it ended up being such a, I mean, that was the moment that changed the whole thing for us. Yeah. I feel like we went all the way because of that one moment. So that was a great game too.
There's this podcast out that my friend recommended to me. It's called Unwritten, about the unwritten rules of baseball. And it's hosted by Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. And like episode 3 or 4 is about dirty slides. And they talk about that one. And I mean, of course, you expect Jimmy Rollins to side with Chase Utley. But even Ron Darling is saying he didn't think it was an illegal slide. It was late. It was a late slide. But I was like, I hate this podcast. I hate these people. Right. I'm still so bitter about it.
Like skip.
Yeah. How long have you been here? How long have you been in California?
Almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2013, I moved out here. So.
So the whole time you've been here, you've been able to follow them. We've had MLB TV pretty much the whole time since you've been here. You haven't had to worry about, you know, going to a sports bar to watch the Met game because you don't have it.
We did. The first year we were here, we were watching it. It was like, I was like MLB Extra Innings, the one bar had down the road. And so I would always go down, and they didn't give me a hard time because the Padres weren't good.
Right.
I don't think I can get away with that today.
Mm-hmm.
So now there are Padres fans everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. And any other favorite ballparks that you've been to or?
I mean, I love Petco Park.
Yeah.
I really do. I love being out here. We were season ticket holders in 2014, 2015. And we couldn't get enough of the ballpark. Just being at the ballpark. Yeah. There were days where we didn't even care who was playing. It's so beautiful. The food is so good. The weather is always perfect baseball weather.
The area around it's really nice too.
Yeah. There's always like good restaurants to eat at, and everything's like walkable in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
Cool.
The biggest plus, I think, is that you will likely catch ball players walking around after the game, which has happened often. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, any encounters with Mets that you want to speak about?
My husband and I were lucky enough to meet Bartolo Colon.
Oh, wow.
My husband actually worked with his cousin.
Oh, cool.
And so they were at the game and they were like, oh, you know, come meet my uncle. We're like, what? And then we're like, oh my goodness, your uncle's Bartolo? Or maybe it's a cousin. I'm not really sure.
Uh-huh.
But it was really cool.
Was this that the home run game?
No. This was season before.
Yeah.
Before.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I thought you mentioned some others.
One, there was a couple of, when the Mets were here for one series, and I can't remember the season, but it was when Justin Turner was playing for us.
Wow.
Because he was my favorite player to meet outside of the stadium, because the visiting team, and I don't know if you've been to the backside of the stadium, but where the buses wait at the end of the game, like the players will come out, and there's not a lot of visiting fans. The Mets are always great to their fans. They always make it a priority to come and, you know, thank them for coming out. And so when you're in the back of the ballpark, the Mets are kind of leaving. They're walking out. They're getting on the bus to go back to the hotel. And one of my favorite memories is like Justin Turner coming over, just getting on a skateboard, coming over to the fence to shake our hands and sign the ball for my brother, which was really cool. Among that, you know, Terry Collins came over.
Oh, yeah.
Ike Davis came over. So definitely an experience. Something else that Petco Park used to offer, they don't offer it anymore, but was breakfast or brunch on the field Sundays. And it was so cool because it was like all you can eat brunch. It was like they had like food out there, tables out there, and you would just watch the teams warm up. And so a lot of players, DeGrom, like they're just casually walking by in their warm up, and fans are just eating on the warning track.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to meet a lot of people. Anthony Recker.
Yes. I saw a picture of you with him.
Yes. And he was really awesome. He talked to my husband for a while. Thanked my husband for his service. We actually then met him the next time the Mets were in town, and my husband actually presented him with a flag that he had flown.
Oh, wow.
In Afghanistan. So, and yeah, he gave us a shout out on Twitter, or my husband a shout out on Twitter. So that was really cool. Like, they're just really great to their fans when they're on the road. And there's just more opportunity because there's less of us out here, I think. So,
any cool autographs or memorabilia that you are particularly proud of?
So my brother is a Mets fan, and he's back. He lives in New Jersey still. And his birthday was coming up, and we didn't know what to get him. And we're like, well, the Mets are coming to town. Let's see if we can get him some signed balls. And so like we ended up getting him 22 balls that were signed like with a happy birthday.
Wow.
And so, yeah, he has them all in his house and they're on a display. So it's really cool.
Wow. That's so awesome.
It was like, yeah, I have a video that was of us on that came from my family members, actually, because we were at the game, and Marlon Byrd and Ike Davis went back to back on home runs. And like, I guess my husband and I were cheering. And so we were featured on SNY. So all of a sudden my phone is blowing up. We just saw you on TV. I'm like, well, we're probably the only two Mets fans here. So that makes sense. But yeah, nothing, a lot of keep. And then I guess something really cool is that my husband and I were lucky enough to do our engagement photo shoot at Citi Field.
Yes. How was
that? So really awesome. Like really awesome. We got to spend a few hours at Citi Field anywhere we really wanted to. We have pictures in the dugout, on the warning track, on top of the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really cool.
That's very nice. Yeah. And those pictures are great.
I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, that's good.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Good. Nobody wants to hear me every week. They want to hear the guest every month.
This is so cool that you do this.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like there's so many Mets fans out here that it would definitely be like something that more people would connect to.
Yeah.
Once word got out.
Right. And I feel like, you know, like hopefully by next year or something, we can get some outings together, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Either sure. In Phoenix or California, anyway, Seattle. I'm sure they're going to come to Seattle next year. That's a ballpark I need to cross off my list. So,
yeah, same.
So now you mentioned a little bit about the 2000 World Series and the 2015 postseason.
Yes.
So you're too young. Well, obviously you're too young for 69 and 73.
Yes.
Eighty-six, right? 86 and 88.
Yes. I was born in 85.
Wow.
So
so like 99, 2000, 06, any memories of those years where the Mets were good,
like,
that stand out?
I feel like 06 is kind of like the David Wright Mets, Jose Reyes, and like we're getting a new stadium coming. It's like all the talk started happening, and yeah. Black jerseys.
Mm-hmm. SNY.
And Mike Piazza. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It just felt like a whole new era as Piazza was leaving and Shea was closing and these guys were coming up. 2016 or last year's playoff run, any memories stick out?
You know, last year has just been such a, was emotional whirlwind for sure. I feel like I was so proud of us, but in the back of every Mets, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every Mets fan has this thing in the back of their mind. They're like waiting for the other shoe to fall, or the other ball to drop. Like
the other shoe
to drop.
We're
just waiting for it. And I felt like I kind of had that unsteady feeling all season last year. It was really exciting. And I was like, yes, yes, we're going to win. We're going to 100 games. So when we didn't make it, I feel like I wasn't necessarily surprised. I was hurt, but I was like, this is true Mets fashion.
Yep. It was definitely a different feeling as the season was winding down. That first half, it just felt like they could do nothing wrong. And
exactly.
And as the season wore on, we saw that they could.
Yes. I also think the Braves catching fire too last year. Like,
yeah, I mean, what more could the Mets have done? They won 101 games, you know. What do you want them to do? Win 107? That would be great, but I mean, 101's awesome too. And then they just couldn't get it together.
I was saying, being a Mets fan out here was also hard to see the Padres doing so well, and then ultimately, you know, the Mets facing the Padres was just like, I don't know how we're facing this team when we did so good.
Yeah.
So,
but they
it
had,
was hard.
They had problems with the Padres during the regular season last year as well. They couldn't hit Darvish to save their lives.
No.
And I had said, I remember texting my sister and my cousin after the trade deadline, and I think they had a series against the Braves. It was like 5 games in 4 days, and they won 4 out of 5. I remember texting my sister and cousin, the only teams I'm scared of now are the Padres and the Astros. And the Padres knocked us out, and the Astros won the World Series. So,
yeah. They're a good team.
Yeah.
So... and it's nice to see the fans here, but it's definitely not as exciting for me to go to Petco.
Yeah.
As it used to be.
Right. I mean, and in any other year, I would totally be rooting for the Padres, you know, a team that's never won a World Series, you know, it's been around forever. But, you know, just the fact that they played us and beat us, then I hated them.
Exactly.
And
now everybody has a Padres hat on everywhere I go.
Yeah.
It's like just reminding me how bad it is now.
Right. And then a Padres Phillies NLCS was ridiculous.
The Phillies were, the Phillies, that hurt too.
Yeah. But I mean, that just goes to show the season's not over. You know, the Phillies.
I was going
to
say it can be us next year or this year.
So now if you were a ball player, what would your walk-up music be?
You know, I saw this question, and it really put some thought into it, and I was like, well, if hypothetically a female was going to be playing baseball, it would be about that time, so I chose About Damn Time by Lizzo.
Nice.
I feel like... I would like to see some females play for sure. I think we have a while.
But that's a good choice of walk-up song.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite walk-up music out of the Mets? Doesn't have to be current, you know, anytime.
So it's Ike Davis, Start Me Up, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he'd come up to bat, I would get so excited. And I was at one game at Citi Field where, like, his home run hit won the game. And I was like, that's it. That's it. Every time. I actually went to the Coliseum to see the A's play when he moved to the A's. And I obviously wore my Ike Davis jersey there. Probably the only Mets fan there, but.
One of 7 Ike Davis jerseys sold. So congratulations.
That's me.
He was good for a while. I thought he would be something. He had that one real good year. He had 30 home runs. And actually, I think I heard he got Valley Fever, which is a weird disease people get here in Phoenix in the desert. And he never quite recovered from it. And that's kind of what ended his career, sort of. I mean, to get the exact, I would look it up to get the exact story. But one of our guests who has been here a while had said that that's why he had to retire. He got Valley Fever and could never quite shake it. Weird. So now let's move away from the Mets for a moment. And let's talk about moving out west. So you said you've been here 10 years. If there's something you could go back in time and tell yourself before you moved here about moving out here, if you could give yourself some advice before you moved out here, what would that be?
Right. I would have to tell people to bring a hoodie wherever you go, especially if you're coming from the humid East Coast. You think the weather's beautiful, but our temperature fluctuates. And once that beautiful sun goes down, it's very hard to keep. It gets a little chilly. It's not like, you know, when those hot summer nights back, you know, east where it's like still hot at night and you can get away without that. You kind of need a hoodie.
I laughed out loud when I read your answer to that. Bring a hoodie everywhere.
Yeah. I learned that lesson the hard way a few times.
And what about East Coast food? Do you miss it? Have you found replacements? Have you found decent spots that kind of scratch the itch?
No. For a lot of it. I feel like I've just out here I've traded foods for different memories, but like there's always food at Citi Field whenever I go home that I will always go to the Keats sausage, Italian sausage vendor. That is something that me and my girlfriend do every time we come back. I come back home and we get a Mets game, like we need to go there. And they'll like show sometimes like the vendors cooking the food. And every time they show the sausage and peppers there from Citi Field, I am like,
you can smell it.
I want
almost
sausage and peppers. And then I'm always, always disappointed here. But pizza, miss pizza for sure. Out here, there's
nothing good like in San Diego. Nothing decent.
Good,
yeah.
Good and decent, but not the
not L&B
that I've grown up to. Yes. Anything in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by the food. I'm still searching for really good Chinese food. Actually, I do it myself, and it's better than a lot of the places. That I've been to. Again, we found decent, but I'm still looking.
Chinese food is hard to find out here too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just an East Coast, West Coast thing, because since we're so much closer to Asia, you know, that it's a lot closer to what they do. I don't know. I've heard a million different versions of why we can't get good Chinese food here, but
But it seems to be the common trend that everybody here from the East Coast that I meet says the same thing. They're like, we've been looking. And bagels.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't get a good bagel out here. And yes, I have like all the bagel stores back home that I think of all the time. Like Taylor Ham and Cheese, that doesn't even exist out here. And if it does, it's just.
That's a Jersey thing. But yes, I've heard of it.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I've heard of it. And I saw these pictures last week because Taylor Swift was at MetLife Stadium and it was called Taylor Swift Ham for a week or something like that, you know. So yeah, I've definitely heard of it, but I still don't really know what that is.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Next, I wouldn't look forward to in Arizona.
No.
But next time you're, do you go back to the East Coast often or?
I haven't yet. I've only been here a year and a half and okay. I haven't been back yet. So, maybe the holidays, all except, you know, I moved here to get away from the cold. So maybe the spring, maybe baseball season, you know?
That's the best time to go.
Yeah. Do you go back a lot?
Or the fall.
Yes.
I have three kids now, so it's very hard to travel with them. And so we have not been back since before the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
I mean, luckily we live out here where family comes to visit.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Us. Mm-hmm. So we do get to see our family, but the food piece has gone like for a while now.
All right. So, we've talked a bunch about this year's team already in bits and pieces. Other than what we've mentioned already, is there anything you want to talk about this season? How you feel about it so far? Still hopeful? Still?
I am still very hopeful. I feel like when we start the season too strong, injuries happen. I feel like you're saying it can only go up from here. I agree. I think that we have a lot of potential still. I'm not giving up, but I never give up. So
yeah,
June is probably the perfect time to talk about it. But optimism is at an all time high for me.
And meanwhile, they're losing 5-2 to the Pirates now. Maybe 6-2. Yep. Oh, dear.
Okay. So optimism a little down, but still very high.
Just terrible. And is there anything else you would like to talk about or anyone you'd like to shout out or anything before we wrap up?
I mean, no, I think we're good. I hope you got enough information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what grade do you teach?
I teach first grade, so a bunch of six-year-olds and a bunch of six-year-old Padres fans.
Oh, wow.
but they all know that I'm a Mets fan because I have like a little Bitmoji character on my like morning slides and stuff. So.
And did they all make fun of you in October?
No.
Oh, okay,
no. Six-year-old, they're still kind. They're still kind.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like I'm very lucky to have met Tiffany because she introduced me to the group out here, and has made going to games a lot more fun.
I'm sure. So yeah.
As the group grows, I think it'll be a lot more comforting to be a Mets fan out here because there are a lot of us. You see them often.
Yeah, totally. So. Even here. I mean, I told you I'm going to give out those little cards promoting the podcast when the Mets come to town, but I'm already doing that at the ballpark because there's always at least one or two guys walking around in Mets gear, you know?
My husband and I were in Tokyo and we were seeing people walk around in Mets gear. So even in Japan.
Wow.
They're out there.
And, is there anyone you'd want to say hello to your kids or anyone while we're here?
Yeah, sure.
Your husband.
Sure. I mean, I think that my oldest, her name is Parker Shea. I think that she'd probably be the only one listening to this. Otherwise, I have babies, but yeah, I love you.
And in the future, they'll listen.
Yeah.
This is forever.
So Parker and Charlie too, when you're old enough.
So, yeah, once again, that Facebook group that we're talking about is called San Diego Mets Fans, and it's a real fun group, and they plan outings to the ballparks and sometimes watch parties at bars and stuff. So, yeah, it seems like a real fun group. And Desiree, unless there's anything else you want to say, I just want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thanks for having me.
intro and outro announcer, Matthew Carey. Artwork by Lauren Gunn. Music by Braden and Nancy Pastor. To sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark dock in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shock from a cheap and chippy chopper on a big black block.
This has been Mets Fans Out West, hosted by Steve Velarde. Until next time, Mets fans, thanks for listening.